Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 3rd of May. I'm your host, Paul White. By now, you've had plenty of time to view our short little 17 and a half minute video titled To Friends and Partners, and perhaps you've even just heard the audio. It pops up in your iTunes and Podbean and all the other places you listen to the podcast. And that presentation, of course, is our announcement that we are relocating in the latter part of July of 2018. We'll be moving our family and our ministry to North Georgia, where we believe the Lord is opening a door for us to get back into doing some weekly meetings on a consistent basis, and to also see this next chapter of our lives unfold. Want more information on that, some details, and some information about our kids and our own family direction, then go check that video out. It's called To Our Friends and Partners. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Let's reread 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We talked about what that yoke of bondage would be. And Paul does that in Romans 8 as well, that same thing about going again into bondage. And that would be the law, that would be performance. More specifically for their time period and their audience, it would be the law-keeping formulaic side of Judaism, which was in its last decade plus of being a temple religion when Paul would write the letter to the church at Galatia. What I mean by that is that the Judaism you know today is not a temple worship Judaism. It's not a sacrificial Judaism. That's what I mean by that. They don't slaughter lambs and bullocks and goats and turtle doves and pigeons. They can't. They don't have that. They don't have the temple to do that. And the reason they don't have the temple to do that is because it's gone. The Romans knocked it down in AD 70, but that, according to the eschatological framework of the New Testament, that was a prophesied event that would mark and signal the absolute end of the efficacy of the Old Covenant. The book of Hebrews is framed around that thought and that vanishing away. So for Paul's audience, somewhere between 53 and 57 AD, this is somewhere between, you know, 13 to 17 years before the fall of Temple Judaism, Paul is warning his Christian audience not to go back to the formulas of the law. You and I don't really have anything to go back to in regards to temple sacrificial religion, but it isn't too far a stretch to say that you and I had governed ourselves on a system of do good and get good and do bad and get bad long before we came to Christ, and certainly before we came to grace. I think even unbelievers are trapped within the evil consciousness of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I think that's why it's apropos to continue to warn people not to go back. We don't have lambs to go back to, and bullocks to go back to, and Judaism to go back to, but we certainly have living by our conscience to go back to, and that's a dangerous road to go down. So I think it's safe for us to say that people are still surrendering their liberty to go back into systems and formulas and performances, and if it were difficult to go back, there would be no need to say stand fast in your liberty. Obviously, going back is pretty easy. It's easy to slide back into the formulas and the habits. And I don't think that's your sin nature. I really don't. I think that's the formulas and habits of listening to yourself and your old consciousness, your old evil consciousness. It's why we are constantly renewing our minds to the truth so that we don't go back to that old way of thinking. So we stand fast in liberty. This doesn't have anything to do with standing fast or working hard to hold on to faith, but just stand fast in your liberty. Realize that you are free and refuse to relinquish that freedom. The second verse, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing, opens up a can of worms we addressed about a week ago. And I'm not going to go back through the whole Paul, what is Paul's mentality in sometimes acquiescing to the needs of the Jewish leadership when you say Acts 21, when Paul does the rites of purification for his Jewish brethren. I don't want to get too deep into why he does that. That's my point. Because we've went over that ground time and again, a lot here, a lot in Romans, a lot in Acts. We went through all of those books verse by verse. I will say this, we do know that Paul circumcises Timothy. We don't know why, and we don't know when. The why could be to satisfy Timothy's family, part of which was Jewish. Timothy's half Gentile. The why could have been to satisfy the Jewish leadership of Israel. It could have happened before Paul had revelation of this, that circumcision can't do you any good. It could be after and Paul is weak. It could be that Timothy wanted it to happen and Paul did. We don't have enough detail to know, but it is safe, I think, to say this. We are not all perfectly accurate in our walk as it relates to our talk. So go easy on people. Let's not be so hard on them. It's not always an easy thing to walk out all that you talk. But you do need to talk it out first and then work on walking it out. And I would rather see someone who talks it out and then works it out than someone who doesn't know how to articulate truth and is stumbling around, or someone who does talk it out and then refuses to walk it out. So Paul knows that if you go back to circumcision, what you're doing is, in one way or the other, you're going back to some system of performances. Why are you being circumcised? Well, because maybe you think it links you to Abraham. Paul spends half of Galatians telling you that faith in Christ links you to Abraham. So for Paul, going back to circumcision is a sign that you're going back to something pre-faith in Christ. And for Paul, that's an awful thing. Now, we circumcise babies, particularly in America, for whatever reasons, perhaps health reasons, perhaps just personal family choice reasons. Maybe very rarely is it religious, although I do think there are some misplaced Christians who think that it somehow may link that child to the seed of Abraham. If so, that they need to reread Galatians. Doesn't have anything to do with it. But Paul, I don't think, is making a blanket statement that if you are circumcised for those other reasons, then you're not saved. And I think that would be taking it to the farthest possible degree. And I think that would be wrong. But Paul is telling us that by going back to, he's not really telling us, he's telling his Jewish Christian friends, by going back to this idea that now that you are a believer. These are Gentiles. They didn't get circumcised at 8 days old like a Jew. That boy didn't have anything to do with it. So these are Gentiles who come to faith in Christ, get convinced they need to be more Jewish, so they go get circumcised. And Paul says, that's ridiculous. If you do that, why would you do that knowing what you know about Jesus? And so I would stop today, this podcast, by saying this. Why would you go do anything that might be construed as in addition to faith in Christ? At least consider why you're doing what you're doing. We'll continue from here tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.